Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party, Spirit of American Party book, and the Spirit of America Party radio show. It is September the 27th. It's a rainy, dark day in New York, and we see previews of the coming fall and winter. And the squirrels outside are getting depressed. Aren't you glad you don't have to live in a tree? Not yet, anyway, right? But they are out there hustling, man. I got a lot of acorns on the ground, and they're having a field day. They're stocking up. I'm listening to Mike Savage tonight, and he's whining and complaining. You know, I can understand when he complains about being shut out by Fox, and he lambasts everybody, calling Hannity the wall banger, and calling Greta Van Susteren, you're calling her Scarface, you know. And the guy gets a little nasty. And the only time I ever hear him talking, he's always with his dog. He's never with anybody but his dog. Can't you get it, girl? Unbelievable. So tonight he's attacking Hollywood. And I'm so tired of hearing him. He did this, he did that. He was in Pago. He was picking chestnuts in Fiji. Give me a break. And he knows all about herbs. How about guy's name Eddie? Give me a break, man. Cut it out. Get real. Go American. Stick to being an American. Never mind, this week you're going to be a doctor, and next week you're going to be a lawyer. Stick to what you do best. Lose your mind. So now he's complaining about an actor named Buscemi. I'm watching the same thing he's watching, and my wife, who is a movie aficionado, if she walks into a room and there's a movie on, she freezes. Like Lot's wife. She cannot take her eye off the TV. And she is enjoying Atlantic City. And so am I. And I think that Buscemi is cast well. And I'd like to see the picture of the real mayor, Thompson, to see if he looks like anybody that's supposed to be good looking. I'll bet you he's not. I bet you he's got a big pimple on his nose. But Savage is trying to kill this thing before it gets off the ground. HBO, okay, it's soft porn. When HBO gives you something that you know that they could, in the credits they give credit to the porn stars. That's America today. We're all pigs in a blanket. We're all dirty dogs. Speaking of dirty dogs, have you seen who's running for office? Hats off to Rick Lazio. When I seen Rick Lazio announce his candidacy for governor, I said, no way is this guy going to win. He violated Hillary Clinton's space. He doesn't have the get over the hill mentality. But I'll give him credit. Tonight he's withdrawn from the race, and he's paved the way for the other guy that's running against Cuomo, the biggest mistake that God ever made. Cuomo, this guy is, he's a mold. He's got Democratic mold on his body. He is terrible. He is the worst politician I ever saw. He can't even be a hypocrite without lousing it up. Unbelievable. And he's going to be in the governor's seat, the Empire State. You know what this has become? The Vampire State. It's a disgrace. This state is a disgrace. Outside in New York, everybody's starving. Unless you go to Scarsdale. Even rich people moved out of Scarsdale. It was too expensive. Oh, and I had an idea for a bit. You know, apartments in New York are outrageously overpriced. Even in a recession, they're outrageously overpriced. You get a stand-up washroom, and they call that a one-bedroom apartment. And you can get that for $3,000 a month after you put down a deposit. It's a condo. It's a condo. You know what? It's two steps away from the cardboard box out on the sidewalk. And they're charging you $3,000 a month. It's ridiculous. So somebody I know and love is getting ready to put a deposit down. And so I said, what are you putting, 10% down? He said, no, they want this place that I want to go to, they want 30% down. 30% down, and then you got to meet with the condo board for approval. I says, you know what you do? You call them up and you say, you want to do everything in one day. You want to be examined, be approved, show the money, do the deal, and close the deal the same day. So have the condo board ready when I come. So in comes this person, and the condo board looks her over, and they ask her questions. You know, how are you going to afford to be here? I says, and this person says, look, I've changed my mind. I don't want the house that, I don't want the apartment that's selling for $300,000. I'm looking for one for $3 million. And they all get startled. And they say, well, we have something for $3 million. I said, good. That's the one I want. Let's do the deal. And they say, you're approved. I said, okay, I guess you want to see the money now, right? I said, yes. And she pulls out a scratch-off. A $3 million scratch-off. You like that? You don't like that?
Scratchy,
well,
yeah.
I thought it was funny at the time. I love to ace out people who think they know everything. So let me give you a tune, and when I come back, we'll talk about the politicians that are still selling out America and what they're doing, how the Tea Party can be more effective than it is tonight. So hang in there. Let me play for you the Harry Reid, the Barbara Boxer, the Patty Murray, and all of the flag-burning Democrats who have ruptured this country and caused it to bleed. Let me play for you a salute to those bastards. Have you noticed that in lieu of getting a decent candidates, you're now getting recycled vermin? Take a good look behind who's standing behind who. I look out on the podium and I see one candidate for office who is appealing, and behind him is Elliot Spitzer, who was being recycled and re-injected into the party of death. And they're cleaning up his act. But what can you expect from the party of death? Marion Barry gets caught in a drug bust. He's on videotape smoking crack cocaine. And he uses the same videotape to get reelected. He uses it as part of his election campaign. And did you see the workers at Chrysler smoking weed and drinking tall bottles of beer? Did you see that? Huh? What does that tell you? The next guy I hear say that Americans are the most productive, I'm going to smack them with an empty beer bottle. It'll be plastic. But the sound will scare them. Unbelievable, man. Smoking a joint, and now they want to legalize it. And I turn on the TV, and they're doing a documentary on Oakland, California. My friends, if you were ever going to make this country better, the first thing you got to do is nuke Oakland, California. That is the land of the lost. Guys are there talking about they got to protect their territory, and they don't even own the land that they're squatting on. They're going to protect their territory, their turf. It's all about colors. You know what color is the main color? Red. As it runs down your throat, your neck, your head, your back. It is absolutely ridiculous. If this is the best America can produce, nuke the whole country. Nuke it all. Start fresh. It is absolutely a disgrace. Absolutely a disgrace. No wonder people are getting off of planes from all over the world to come take the jobs and come take the Social Security numbers that these people have squandered and thrown away. And I hear Savage tonight, he's talking about executing everybody that's on death row right now and getting it over with and getting a fresh batch. And I got to tell you something. At the rate of the repulsiveness of crime, the only deterrent is the death penalty, and it should be swift justice. Nobody should have to wait 20 years to get the electric chair. They should hold the trial while he sits in the electric chair, so that when they pronounce not guilty, they can pull the switch at the same time. Yep. Our country has been watered down. We are less than men. There's only a handful of men left. And you look at all the guys that they prance around on the TV. Half of them look like women. They're real softies. Manicured fingernails. These ain't the guys that are going to build America or rebuild America. These are the guys that are going to sell it out. These are the guys that are going to point you out to the Gestapo. It's unbelievable. And ladies, I got to tell you something. If you got little children, take a good look at them and weep, because you're going to be weeping the day they get drafted. And the draft is coming back. China is getting bigger and better every day. And you have no idea. And don't worry about global warming, because atomic mushrooms will take care of that. Don't worry about CO2 credits, because atomic dust is going to take care of that. The next war will be nuclear. Will definitely be nuclear. And if those nut jobs in the Middle East are shooting their AK-47s up in the air tonight, wait till they get nukes. What do they give out for nukes? Big boxes of candy? Unbelievable. We're in trouble. And you know what? This government is not ready for anything. We are less prepared today for a terrorist strike than we were on 9-1-1. I'm telling you, we're screwed up. We're absolutely screwed up. Did you see the plane that landed in JFK yesterday with the one wheel that didn't come down? You saw the wings scraping the ground and the sparks flying up. Did you see any foam on the runway? No, they didn't get around to doing that. They knew that plane was coming in. They couldn't foam up the runway. Those sparks could have set off an explosion. It would have been better to have foam on the runway. I didn't see any. Maybe I'm wrong, but I didn't see any. I seen a fire truck standing by. Big deal. So we're wide open. And beware of where the politicians are pointing, because your focus is being misdirected. They're not showing you where the big problem is going to come from. Did you know that the Chinese fishing boat rammed two Japanese patrol boats off of Japanese islands? Did you know that the Japanese seized that fishing boat and they brought the fishing boat to port, turned the boat and the crew loose and kept the captain? Did you know that the captain turned out to be a Chinese naval officer, and that it was a clear act of provocation? Did you know that the Japanese have took an oath that they would never go nuclear and they're going to have to break it? The Japanese are the masters of the first strike. They will not, never, it's not in their nature to say hit us first. They will strike first. They're going to go nuclear. And you want to know why they're going to go nuclear? Because they no longer count on the strength of the United States. And do you know why they don't count on the strength of the United States? 9-1-1. 9-1-1 told the world America is not the same America that has been the fortress of democracy. America is a watered-down waste of time. One half of 1% is all that's left in this country to defend it. So, moms, look at your children. The draft will come back. It's going to come back at the worst possible time, and your kids will be scooped up off the streets and put in and pressed into service. And don't think that's not going to happen. You got a president that has reduced our nuclear deterrent pile. He has surrendered to Iran. He has surrendered to the Soviet Union. He's given Poland and Czechoslovakia back to the Soviets. He hates this country. He is not an American. And all his urchins are anti-American. They're excuse makers and losers. And we're all in trouble. And if we don't make the change in November, you won't have to worry about it. You won't have to worry about it. You'll be reading in history books, underground history books, because the ones you're going to get in communist cucumber school won't tell the truth. But if you get a hold of an underground history book, you're going to be reading about how great this country was and why it's not anymore. And here's another thing that kills me. I'm watching these politicians who are all running for office, and they're playing the going after big business who has escaped overseas, and they want to punish them because they're taking jobs away from America. Big business didn't take the jobs away from America. The politicians did. The politicians sold everything to China. Nancy Pelosi, Barbara Boxer, they sold the Kaiser Steel plant to China, and American workers were not allowed to disassemble it. The Chinese brought their own crews in to disassemble it. You think about that. These same politicians that are saying that they're going to punish big business for going overseas drove big business overseas. In California, who's leaving California? You know who's leaving California? The taxpayer. Because the taxpayer is tired of carrying the water for everybody else. And that's who's leaving California. And the only thing that's going to be left in California is government workers. And where are they going to get their profits from? Fines? Who are they going to fine? Each other? We're in trouble. We're absolutely in trouble. So I called it. I said that nobody's paying attention to Japan. And Japan is worried about China. And you know that the word kamikaze comes from the divine wind that sunk the Chinese fleet that was invading Japan. And the Chinese are building a new fleet to invade Japan. And they're also looking at the Philippines. And we're going to have our hands full. And the provocation by the North Koreans against the South Koreans, I believe, was orchestrated by China. I believe that Kim Il-nook got his orders from China to sink that South Korean patrol boat. Now, I got to tell you, when they do that to the Japanese, that the game's on. You're going to hear the words climb Mount Nataka one more time. And last night I'm listening to Bachelor. And after me ranting and raving about the last 6 months that nobody's going to see the biggest threat in the Far East, which is China, and it's going to be China against Japan. And it's funny. My uncle said many years ago when I was a high school kid, I said, what are we going to do about the Russians? And he said, don't worry about the Russians. The Germans will take care of the Russians, and the Japanese will take care of the Chinese. And he was pretty observant. But anyway, so I'm listening to John Batchelor. And I recommended to Batchelor, I sent him an email. I said, you should get a billboard sign coming into New York, and it should just say, John Batchelor knows everything. Because he goes all around the world. He'll take you to Pakistan, to China, to Tibet, to the Middle East. Every night he's got somebody reporting on the stuff that the government doesn't want you to know about, so you don't age overnight. And he starts talking about Japan, and he's got an expert on, and they're saying, well, the Japanese said they would never build nukes, but you know, the reason for Pearl Harbor was we forced the Japanese to strike us first. And this guy says, oh, Bachelor asks this guy, says, well, you know, with China building up its, you know, building an arms race, and Iran building an arms race, I mean, how long will it take the Japanese to go nuclear? And the guy said, about 15 minutes. And then he, Bachelor says, have they got plutonium? And the guy says, they got enough plutonium right now to make 4,000 warheads. So, you know what's going to happen. The next war is going to be nuclear, and you won't have to worry about a population explosion, because people are going to be dying by the millions. But you don't think that can happen. Hey, what is that saying? There's a sucker born every minute? Think about it. And we got a president that destroyed Star Wars. And now if our space cadets want to go up into outer space, they got to get a ride with the Russians, and they got to sit in the back of the spaceship. Yeah, we're going to do great. We're going to do great. And look at all the industry we got. We got pornography. We got lotto. We got legalized marijuana is coming. And that was the thing that I thought about when I was watching the Oakland massacre of youthful minds. Everybody wants to be a badass. They have no idea. They're all living in a zoo. You might as well just put bars on the outside of the cage. They're all living in a zoo. And they catch one guy. They catch one guy, just a regular guy, pull him out of a car, and they're frisking him, and they bring out a bag of weed, and then they bring out crack rocks, and then they bring out black tar heroin. Now, California is getting ready to legalize weed, and the rest of the country will follow right away, 10 minutes after. And I said, if you want to run for president, all you got to do is promise to legalize weed, and you'll beat everybody. You'll win in a landslide. One out of five Americans is a junkie. Welcome to the club. And we spend a lot of money on rehab. Isn't that wonderful? We spend money for convicts to get sex change operations. Do you know how much it costs? $100,000 to have their sex changed in prison, plus the hormone shots, which are $1,000 a pop. You don't think that doesn't happen? My question is, if a guy gets a sex change operation and now he's a woman, do they put him back in the male population, or do they put him in women's prison? Unbelievable. If a guy kills a woman who's carrying a child and she was going to have the child aborted, is he tried for one murder or two? And if a guy kills a pro-life woman, is he charged for one murder or two? Or you can't recognize the fetus in either case because it hasn't been classified as a human being yet. Yeah, we're doing great, aren't we? We've screwed us. We've got our heads sewn on backwards. Ass backwards. And we're supposed to get out of this mess we're in. How are we going to do that? Hang in there. 10 million Americans out of work and 10 million illegal aliens.
The struggle's over, the bodies were defeated. Old Ireland surrounded with sadness and gloom. We were defeated and shamefully treated.
damn it, awaiting my doom. Hung, drawn, and quartered, sure that was my sentence. But soon I will show them no coward am I. My crime was a love of a land I was born in. For a hero I've lived, and a hero I'll die. Bold Robert Emmet, the darling of Erin. Take me over the billows to a land of the free. But I must see my sweetheart, for I know she'll cheer me. And with her I will sail far over the sea. But I
Hi, boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book and the Spirit of America Party radio show. I thought we'd open up with a little high-spirited type of music. And marching bands are one of my favorites. We're going to do a quick review about the mosque that's been endorsed by Abu Dhabi Bloomingdale. And the imam, that's the bridge builder, but the only bridge he builds is the Fallujah one. There is an organization that's pro-American, it's Arab-run, and so therefore mostly it's Muslim-run. And they digest and spit out all of the news that comes out of the Middle East. They take all of the announcements and radio shows and TV shows. They analyze them all the writings that are currently coming out of the Middle East. They do it in Arabic. They do it in Pashtun. They do it in Urdu. They do it in Farsi. I call it Farsi. Yeah, remember when Ahmadinejad said there are no gays in Iran? You know where he was, don't you? He was in New York. What a joke. They have done at Memory, that's the name of the organization, M-E-M-R-I, and I'm sure they supply the CIA with the only documentation that the CIA can read in English. Tips from the Middle East, what the mindset is and what's going on and who's doing all the damage. They did a poll, and now you can take it for whatever, for better or for worse, you know, it's a small sampling of the reaction of different Arabs, influential Arabs in the Middle East, and their reaction to the Abu Dhabi Bloomingdale 911 Jihad Victory Mosque. So let me give you a couple of samples. When you hear these liberal communist Americans telling you how Muslims think and how the Middle Eastern mind works, they have no idea whatsoever. And the Middle Eastern mind is completely different than ours. And you must remember that. They do not see the same thing with their eyes as we do with ours. We have certain things that we have in common, but Any American who tells you that he understands the Muslim mind is insane. Okay, I remember going to Kuwait and coming back, and there was a woman who had gone there for 2 weeks, and she was, my big joke with my Kuwaiti and Lebanese friends was, I've been here 2 weeks, I'm an Arabist. I'm an expert on Arabia. And they all cracked up. They thought that was hilarious. And sure enough, I get back here, there's a woman, she's got a book out, and it's called There Are 99 Names for God. Well, that's the first thing they tell you when you get there. And that's all she learned. Absolutely ridiculous. Now, here are some of the pros and cons of the mosque situation. You know, these people, they get TV. Sadly, I don't think they get as much Fox as they should. They probably get the CNN, which is the Communist News Network. The lowest rated, used to be number one. It used to be number one. Now Ted Turner is being charged with slaughtering buffalo. Unbelievable. And Jane Fonda. Now it's the Jane Fonda Network. You know, the Ho Chi Minh Trail leads right to Jane Fonda's house. And John McCain was in Vietnam in the Hanoi Hilton getting the Jane Fonda workout. But let's not digress. So here's some of the opinions that are coming out of the Middle East, thanks to Memory, M-E-M-R-I. They can keep you well informed. Even more important than the location of the project is the negative impact it will have on Muslim Americans' ability to attain closer relations with their fellow Americans, and that's by Saudi journalist Adel Al-Tarifi. And he stated that it was unwise. And how right he is. And he is right. It has it has put a wedge between Muslim Americans and Americans. Muslims are not to be trusted. I'm sorry. That's the street rule. Of course, the liberals will tell you, but they're the same ones who curse the police, except when they get mugged, and then they go into the police station and demand justice. Yeah, after they let the criminal go and he came back to mug him, then they go to the police and say, do your duty. The important thing is for Muslims not to act in isolation from the rest of the American people. That's by Dr. Abid al-Munim Saeed, board chairman of the Egyptian daily Al-Aram. So there you go. There's another opinion, and it's in agreement with the 911 victims. The third opinion is the Muslims in the West speak in one voice with non-Muslims and in another with their fellow Muslims. And that's Kuwaiti liberal Khalil Ali Haider criticized the Muslims living in the West for their hostility to their host societies, for espousing ideological and political Islam, for saying one thing while believing another. And this is how Americans feel. We feel that the Muslims in the United States have two heads. They have the American head, and then they have the jihad head. And Khalil is right on the money. And this causes Westerners to fear the Cordoba House Project and Islam in general. Okay? And, of course, when they talk Cordoba House, I recall the Madrid train bombing. And 10 minutes after the bombs went off, the Muslim world was calling for the return of Al-Andalus back to Islamic control. And that didn't go over too well, I'm sure, with the followers of El Cid. Unbelievable. The Americans' apprehensions regarding Cordoba Mosque and Kuwait is probably the most pro-American country in the Middle East, and with definitely convictions, because they remember, and I remember, when the Arab League all met when Kuwait was occupied by Saddam Hussein. And the Arab League was not too helpful. And if it wasn't for the Americans, there would be all Iraqis in Kuwait and no more Kuwaitis. In 2 years, Saddam would have got rid of every Kuwaiti. He's a Kuwaiti. Oh, take him to the desert. We'll put in Baghdad Billy there, in that guy's house. And when somebody knocks on the door, he'll say, oh, I'm Kuwaiti. You don't think that wouldn't have happened, right? Yeah. Saddam was one big weapon of mass destruction. And a maniac besides. Who could fathom his insanity? Who could fathom a guy that had 250 cars in his garage? And had at least 9 palaces. Who had yachts. Who had the keys to the bank. He could go in and pick up a couple of million on a weekend. He had the keys to the bank. If Saddam wants 2 million, the bank's got to give it to him. Who's going to argue? He had Iraq by the camel hair. Unbelievable. He had it made. He had his own army. He was feared in the region, feared and respected. And what did he do? He told Bush he had weapons of mass destruction. And Bush said, let me see. And he said, no. And Bush said, if you don't let me see, I'm going to come take a look anyway. And Bush sent in his inspectors, which was a right call. And, of course, the communists in this country said it was the wrong call. Iraq was the wrong war at the wrong time. So was 9-1-1. 9-1-1 should never happen. It wouldn't have happened in your grandfather's time. And 10 minutes after it happened in your grandfather's time, everybody responsible would be swinging from a rope. But Bush did hang Saddam. So here, Saddam, Bush called Saddam's bluff. and the convincing rule of thumb about whether or not Bush should have went to Iraq. And my regret is that we're not staying, because we're going to have to come back for Iran. The Middle East is, they're shooting AK-47s into the air tonight. Tomorrow they'll be shooting nuclear weapons. You watch. You watch what happens. The sad part is when you shoot the guns in the air, all the bullets come down to kill you. So, the second problem is that in America and Europe, Islamic activity is in the hands of the local leaderships of the Muslim Brotherhood and other Islamic parties based in Egypt, Syria, Palestine, and Asia. In more general terms, it's in the hands of the supporters of political and ideological Islam, which is known for saying one thing and believing another, and for saying one thing to the Westerners and another to the Muslims. That is why the Muslims in the West are hostile to their host societies and to the concept of openness, and espouse values that are far removed from moderateness and maturity. It is rare to find even one American or European Muslim who engages in self-criticism or defends freedom of religion and thought in the Muslim and Arab world, who supports a persecuted author or an intellectual facing trial in some Muslim country. Speaking of trials in Muslim countries, I want to tell you about the Iranian capture of three American jerks who had no rhyme or reason to be up on that border and so close to the Iranian border. I believe that it wasn't stupidity. I believe it was deliberate, that they were taunting. They were taunting Iranians. They were playing games. And as a result, they caused an international incident. And those same three jerks probably protest the war. Those same three jerks probably hate the military. But those same three jerks and their liberal parents wanted the 7th Fleet to go and get their sorry asses back. And if that was me and I was in charge, I would have said, I dare you to kill them. Because those are the kind of people that start wars. It is no wonder that some Americans, Britons, and Germans who convert to Islam go straight from Christianity to Takfiri Jihad, and from obvious liberalism to aggressive extremism, so that even the hills and mountains of Tora Bora are hardly enough for them. So here's a guy he's got his finger on the pulse of what's taking place, okay? Sadly, there are too many Muslims, and it is not a small percentage. Don't believe that small percentage. I would say in Kuwait, 15% of Kuwaitis are anti-American and pro-jihad. And that's the smallest percentage in any country, because they do know that if it wasn't for us, they wouldn't have a country. They know that, and they appreciate that. They got a good look at their Muslim brothers, and their Muslim brothers weren't doing anything for them. As a matter of fact, I remember a guy talking at the first trade show. This is before they got their fax machines back. Saddam had taken all the fax machines. It was the death penalty to have a fax machine. Took all the air conditioners. Ordered the hotel to be burned to the ground. When I got there, the first four floors were burned. We had to go up to a freight elevator to get to one of the comfortable rooms. And I remember this one Kuwaiti saying, "I can't believe that brother Muslims invaded us." And that's how the cookie crumbles. It hasn't changed since the first lion ate the lamb. The strong will always feast on the weak. Here's another guy. All the Americans ask is to respect their feelings. Their wound has not yet healed, and the memory of the victims of the depraved massacre of 9/11. And I'm surprised. That's a Palestinian journalist. His name is Zainab Rashid. and he wrote that Muslims abuse the democratic freedoms they enjoy in other countries, while their own countries are characterized by terrorism and oppression. And that's true. You just got to go to an Iraq vegetable market any given day and hope that a bomb doesn't go off. That is really sad. I mean, that is really 5th century. Zainab is a woman. She also stated that Muslims use mosques to provoke the followers of other religion and to assert the superiority of their own. This is coming from a Palestinian journalist. That's very surprising. Whenever the Muslims find an opportunity to build a mosque opposite a church or some other non-Muslim house of worship, they put every effort into doing so. They furnish its minaret with dozens of high-tech loudspeakers so that their voice will be louder than that of other religions. This is their way of excluding the other in places where they cannot do so directly. There is no other way of interpreting this act. This sort of thing has happened many times and will happen again. There have been cases where Muslims spent a fortune to buy a tiny plot of land, a size of 1 square meter, or slightly more, near churches located at historically or archaeologically significant sites in Arab cities and capitals in order to build a minaret, just a minaret, furnished with dozens of bothersome loudspeakers. Now, if Muslims are complaining about loudspeakers and the call to prayer, can you imagine how it grates on non-Muslims? It's a strange paradox. The Muslims speak of democracy, freedom, and laws honoring religious, ethnic, racial, and natural pluralism, and wish to benefit from these laws. However, at the same time, many Muslim people suffer from killing, terrorism, oppression, and famine at the hands of Muslim parties and organizations that rose to power through elections and then completely distorted the concepts of democracy, freedom, and humanism. And the besieged Gaza is the best example of this. Yeah, and also in the United States, under the reign of Sultan Obama. The Americans will not destroy the mosque that the Muslims are determined to build, nor do they wish to expel the Muslims from their land or to discriminate against them. This is impossible for them to do, both legally and morally. All the Americans ask is to respect their feelings. Their wound has not yet healed, and the memory of the victims of the depraved massacre of 9/11. I'll never forget, while those buildings were coming down, a girl of Lebanese descent, who spoke with an accent, was a high school girl, and she was standing on the street, and she was crying. She was sobbing, and she says, "I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." She took it on herself for what these 19 Muslims did. She felt that they represented her culture, and she was brokenhearted and ashamed. Perhaps the Americans and other peoples of the world believe that the $100 million allocated to the construction of the mosque should be invested instead in helping the victims of the Pakistan floods, who need every cent of this money. Supporting the disaster victims in Pakistan is a much worthier cause than building another unnecessary mosque. You know, there is a mosque that I thought it was 2 blocks from the World Trade Center. It's 4 blocks. Somebody corrected me. But there's one there already. Why not, if it was run down, why not develop that one? I am not saying the mosque belongs to or is funded by Al-Qaeda. The Kashmiri Lashkar-e-Taiba organization, the Palestinian Hamas movement, or its mother organization, the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood. But I'm saying that Quranic verses will be heard there, such as, "So when the sacred months have passed away, then slay the idolaters wherever you find them." Quran 9.5. "Fight those who do not believe in Allah, nor in the latter day, nor do they prohibit what Allah and His messenger have prohibited, nor follow the religion of truth, out of those who have been given the book, until they pay the tax in acknowledgement of superiority, and they are in the state of subjection." Quran 9:29. And the Jews say, Uzziah is the son of Allah. And the Christians say, the Messiah is the son of Allah. These are the words of their mouths. They imitate the saying of those who disbelieved before. May Allah destroy them, how they are turned away. And that's Quran 9:30. So here's a woman that's using the surahs in the Quran to remind her own people that it's a playbook for jihad. Here's another one. The Muslims do not take an interest in this mosque and are not angered by the opposition to its construction. And that is from Wahid Abid al-Majid, Deputy Director of the Al-Aram Center for Political and Strategic Studies. He called on Muslim academics, leaders, and religious scholars to address the American public and explain to it that the construction of the Islamic Center near Ground Zero is not an issue of interest for Muslims around the world, and that the Muslims are not waging a religious or cultural war against the West. He added that the Muslims must stop supplying ammunition to Islamophobes in the West by promoting initiatives like a Cordoba House. It's understandable that building a mosque in this particular location hurts the feelings of some Americans. It hurts the feelings. You take 3,000. Those 3,000 had brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, had friends. So you multiply that out. If not many Americans, and gives the extremists among them an excuse to renew the campaign against Islam and the Muslims, and to pour oil on the flames that have not subsided despite all of President Obama's efforts over the last 20 months to extinguish them. He hasn't done that. He has done just the opposite. He is not trusted. The big joke in the United States is 20% of the American people believe he is a Muslim. And 100% of the Muslim people believe he's a Muslim. He has not done that. He has driven a wedge. He has put on at the boot of the conqueror. And he is standing on the necks of Americans who don't like it. And eventually will rise up. And if America was going to do anything about Muslims, they would have done it the night of 9/11. And the fact that they didn't do it is a testimony to the fact that they are slow to anger, even though portrayed as raging beasts with guns. Americans are slow to anger. They are reluctant to go into war. It took Pearl Harbor to get us into World War II. Americans did not want to go to war in World War I. The only time we go to war is to defend ourselves. But once driven to anger, it is very hard to calm down. When the percentage of those who hate Muslims in the U.S. rises from 40 to over 70% in the wake of the Ground Zero mosque crisis, we will have no choice but to say that the 9/11 tragedy is recurring 9 years later. Yet nobody in the Muslim world, neither countries, nor governments, nor institutions, nor NGOs, is trying to challenge the claim that the mosque is an issue that preoccupies all Muslims worldwide. Now, this is interesting. Why don't prominent Muslim academics, politicians, and religious scholars around the world convene in order to draft a document? My question is, how come Muslim Americans aren't speaking out against this effrontery? And I have two answers that I'm wrestling with. One is, they support it, and they hate this country. And the second one is, they're afraid to speak up among their own people for fear of retribution. And I don't see a third answer. Explaining the Ground Zero Mosque does not interest anyone but those who are promoting it, and you know there's money behind it. And the big question that everybody's asking, how could a guy turn down an offer for 20 million, and sell it for four? Now you know that there is a bad odor to that fish. Unbelievable. Why don't they say something along the lines of what was said by the mother of Zacharias Moussaoui, who was convicted of involvement in the 911 attacks, when she said, "My son was brainwashed in London by imams who preached hatred and violence in the name of a false Islam that has nothing to do with the real faith." And why don't they tell the Americans that the Muslims around the world are not waging a war with either weapons, culture, or religion, but are only asking the Americans to take a fair stance towards those who are not just stealing the Muslim lands, but are also perpetrating war crimes against them? And why don't they explain to the Americans that the struggles between the Muslim and non-Muslim peoples are not religious in nature, even if there are those who claim otherwise? And proof of this is the fact that Christians are an integral part of the Palestinian liberation movement. Coptic Christians have been a supporter of Islam and a supporter of the Prophet Muhammad since the rise of Islam. And they have not been treated fairly by Muslims of today. They were treated better under the Prophet Muhammad than they are being treated today. So that argument is not balanced too well. When a Coptic Christian father in Egypt gets word that his daughter has been kidnapped and raped by a Muslim a week before her wedding to another Coptic Christian, and he goes to the police station to get help to rescue his daughter who is in captivity, and the police laugh at him, you know this is not a balanced scale of justice. Religious tolerance, and I won't even do Christians, I'll do Hazara people in Afghanistan that were slaughtered for being Shiite Muslims. I think that's why they got slaughtered. They were a different branch of Islam. Go to Algeria, where whole villages had their throats cut just to show. Muslim villages had their throats cut to show the government that the government did not have control outside the city. What rationalization is that? Too quick with the knife is the Muslim. Religious tolerance in America versus lack of tolerance in Saudi Arabia, Egypt. Dr. Omar Al-Zant, a columnist for the Egyptian daily Al-Masri Al-Yom, compared the religious tolerance in New York to the intolerance in Saudi Arabia, where immigrants live in isolated communities and feel no sense of belonging. The New York City Council has unanimously approved the construction of the mosque, thereby proving that New York is indeed the capital of pluralism and tolerance. It is a city that hosts the largest number of people of various nationalities, religions, sects, and creeds who live together in relative harmony and accord. The pluralism and openness that prevail there generate a state of creative chaos. Views meet, merge, and interact, the ultimate result being original and creative thinking. All that glitters is not gold. We live and let live. Let me put it that way. The importance of such interaction becomes clearer when you compare the situation in New York to the situation in the country that was the origin of most of the 9/11 terrorists, namely Saudi Arabia. This country too has a large population of foreigners from all over the world. But unlike many of the immigrants in the U.S., the members of this population can never see themselves as part of their host country. They never develop a sense of belonging to the society in which they work, because the communities of exiles live in almost complete isolation. Pluralistic thinking is all but forbidden by law, whereas religious pluralism is non-existent. It is impossible to build a church anywhere, let alone a synagogue or a Buddhist or Hindu temple. Moreover, much of the country's own Islamic heritage has been destroyed under the pretext of preventing paganism. This explains why the pluralistic and open society benefits from immigration, whereas a closed society hardly benefits at all from the infusion of foreign workers. Something came to mind while I was reading that, and I'll talk about it real quick. There was a Butte